until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And we're down here at the Livewire Park in Lawn this morning. You have to really see this place to believe it. It's very hard to describe over the air, but high ropes courses, a zip coaster, 520 metres long, and just to be able to broadcast them up here almost in the treetops. It's quite a surreal experience. And the mountain air, as I said, or the hillside air is absolutely fresh. It's clean. It's something you don't get down there in Geelong, that's for sure. Now, talking about federal politics, with me on the line is Sarah Henderson, the federal member for Corangamite. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Mitchell, a very good morning to you, and you are in a beautiful part of the world, but it's all beautiful across the Corangamite electorate.
Absolutely, but Lawn would be right up there, I think. And what a great facility this Livewire Park is to try and promote more tourism and ecotourism.
Oh, look, the Livewire Park is absolutely wonderful. I had the great joy of visiting, and my son Jeremy had a bit of a ride on that zip line, and it's absolutely wonderful. And this is an example of a great small business investing in the local economy and, of course, tapping into that increasing visitor economy. And it's just wonderful to see so many people visiting Lawn and going to the Livewire Park.
Now, the Geelong Advertiser yesterday says Hendo not giving up in fight for seat, but does it make you nervous when you see other, and in some cases very senior MPs resigning, like Kelly O'Dwyer and Michael Keenan?
No, not really, because at this time of the electoral cycle, Mitch, there's always resignations, and there's been quite a number on Labor side as well. Jacinta Collins, Kate Ellis, Jenny Macklin, you know, there's quite a few. Wayne Swan, of course. Quite a few of them. So look, we always expect that there will be some retirements at this time of the year, because you can only retire now or otherwise cause a by-election. And I'm really disappointed that Bill Shorten has attacked the likes of Kelly O'Dwyer, who spoke very personally about some really very difficult issues, suffering a miscarriage, something that so many women go through. She wants to have another child, and I think it's really disappointing that Bill Shorten would make politics out of this situation. The bottom line is I am in a very marginal seat, but I'm absolutely determined to fight and hold my seat. I have never been more committed, Mitch. I have never been more determined. We have delivered in spades for the Corangamite electorate, whether it's in Lawn, of course, where you are, upgrading the Great Ocean Road, fixing local roads, building a new international terminal at Avalon, our $150 million city deal, and, of course, tens and tens of millions of dollars for community infrastructure, sports facilities, manufacturing and local jobs programs, including, of course, $8 million for the Point Grey redevelopment in Lawn, which is a wonderful project, and we're very, very proud of how we are supporting the Corangamite electorate under our city deal, in contrast to the Labor Party, which decided in its wisdom not to support any projects in the Corangamite electorate.
Well, just on that city deal, where are we at? Because I saw a post on your social media saying that you want Labor to sign the city deal. I'm presuming that's state Labor. So where are we at with the whole city deal negotiation?
Well, we absolutely want the state Labor Party to sign our city deal. The Prime Minister has written to Daniel Andrews. The responsible Minister, Alan Tudge, has done the same. We've heard absolutely nothing from state Labor. And it's absolutely critical to release this $154 million plus the $150 million committed by Labor. But Labor is so sitting on its hands on this project that it won't even reveal how it's going to spend its money. Whereas we've been very upfront. We're talking about, of course, $8 million for Lawn, $12 million for the Apollo Bay Harbour, $5 million for the Skeens Creek Walk, some $20 million going into revitalising central Geelong, including into Little Mallop Street and the pedestrian laneways. And I call on Labor to urgently sign our city deal, because we've seen in recent days some real concern about the state of the Geelong Mall, and we've got $20 million sitting there to continue to drive the upgrades and improvements in the centre of Geelong. And, of course, we can't get Labor even to respond to our letters. So it's very, very important for our visitor economy, for our local economy, for jobs, And of course, for the many wonderful projects that we're investing in right across the Corangamite electorate and the broader Geelong and Southwest Victoria region.
Yeah, just on the Geelong, Mel, you mentioned that there. We had a bit of a discussion about it on the program yesterday and, you know, perceptions of crime versus reality. I'm just wondering if you have any particular thoughts there. You've obviously got potentially funding allocated for that space, but what do we actually do with it to make it a place that people feel like they actually want to visit?
Oh, look, first of all, we need to adopt the State Liberals' plan, and that is to put a police presence in there full-time. We can't have this as a place where people are hanging around doing drugs. You know, the rough sleeping is very concerning. I've spoken out very strongly about the fact that the state Labor government is spending far less per capita on social housing than any other state. That's really very, very concerning. But look, I worked for Brashers, would you believe, in the early 80s I was still at school, and worked in that precinct, and Little Mallop Street was a really wonderful thoroughfare. And I'd never been a great fan of what happened to the old Little Mallop Street. And my grandfather had a couple of dress shops there as well, and it was a thriving precinct. And I think that we need to look urgently at how we restructure that precinct. There's been talk about opening up that road. Certainly the $20.85 million that we've committed to Central Geelong includes streetscape upgrades of Little Mallop Street, public realm improvements, there's completion of pedestrian laneways, and a lot of investment going into Central Geelong, including, of course, $30 million for the convention centre and about $3 million for an upgrade to the Geelong Railway Station. So really disappointing that we just cannot get this money delivered, because we need the city deal agreement signed. This will make a big difference to the centre of Geelong, as well, of course, as to the Safe Harbour project, to the 12 Apostles, to the many other wonderful projects right along the Great Ocean Road, including $10 million for a new ferry terminal at Queenscliff. As I say, and I make this point, and I made this point in the report that you mentioned in the Geelong Advertiser,
yep.
Mitch. There is a huge risk in voting for Labor in the upcoming federal election. I am calling on the people I represent to back the Liberals and to back me as the local member. We've delivered very strongly, but what's incredibly concerning, and I'm actually picking this up on the ground, the $200 billion of taxes that Labor plans to hit Australians with will hurt Australians badly and will really damage the economy. And you've heard today the Prime Minister has made an announcement of a commitment of another 1.25 million jobs over 5 years, and you can only do that when you build a strong economy, when you back small business, and, of course, when you do all the things that we are doing to deliver record jobs, health, you know, jobs growth, and also investment in health and education. So, and the other thing that I just want to point out, Mitch, when Labor was in power both federally and at a state level, when there was no opposition or Liberal MPs in our region, some terrible things happened to our city. We had a carbon tax. We had Richard Marles and Labor stop Avalon Airport from building an international terminal. Richard Marles argued it was not in Geelong and Australia's interests. We had the regional rail link, which is now delivering, you know, train travel times slower on occasions than in the 1950s. We had some really regressive decisions, like a refusal to fund the Great Ocean Road, to which we are proudly contributing $50 million. So, and of course, there was no accountability. Labor ran ragged over our town. It drove our city backwards, and we just can't afford for that to happen again.
Just on another funding issue, a bit up the road from here, the Great Ocean Road, up in Torquay, of course, the swimming pool. We spoke a little bit about this last time you were on, but Libby Coker last week on the program said, well, we've done a deal between federal and state Labor. We will fund the pool, whereas she says that you're just saying, well, you want the council to petition for the money. Will you go in and lobby for funding to match Libby's commitment, or how are we going with this whole pool in Torquay?
Well, absolutely, and unlike the Labor plan, which is to deliver an insufficient 25-metre pool, which will be overrun by people in no time at all, I'm lobbying for funding and getting out in the community and speaking to surf lifesaving clubs, swimming clubs, schools, families about the need for a proper 50-metre pool. Labor's pool plan has absolutely belly-flopped, and it's another example of Bill Shorten's candidate in Corangamite not listening to the people she purports to represent. It's a really, you know, telling example, frankly, Mitch, that Labor has again got this wrong. And it's also just unbelievably hypocritical when Bill Shorten's candidate in Corangamite, who is a Surf Coast councillor, has actively stopped a pool being developed as a councillor for the last 10 years, and there is still a motion on the books opposing any development of a swimming pool for the Surf Coast. This is vital infrastructure, absolutely critical infrastructure, an investment that I have been championing and pushing for a very, very long time. And I'm also doing it on the Ballerine. So we've also got a big campaign running on the Ballerine, and I'm asking everyone to sign my petition. Just go to my website, sarahhenderson.com.au/petitions, because the Labor has completely turned its back on the needs of a pool in the North Ballerine. Of course, the Port Arlington pool has closed. Lisa Neville is the local state member, and of course, Richard Miles, as the member, the federal member representing the North Ballerine until the redistribution, which happens on election day. Both of them have done absolutely nothing about this critical infrastructure. They've turned their back on the Ballerine, and so has Bill Shorten's candidate, frankly. That's not even on her radar. She's only focused about in relation to Torquay. So I'm working very, very hard to deliver vital community infrastructure to build on the tens of millions of dollars that I've already secured on behalf of the Morrison government for the people of Corangamite, and I'm doing that very, very proudly.
The issues around energy were put back into focus on Friday last week when we had that record hot day, or record for the last 5 to 10 years, and we had rolling blackouts because there just wasn't enough power to go around. Should we have to tolerate that? Do we say, well, if we're going to close coal-fired power stations like Hazelwood for environmental outcomes, and that's just the price we have to pay? Or what do we do to try and resolve the situation around making sure that there is sufficient power on those very, very hot days when there's high demand on the grid?
Well, we know, of course, first of all, that Daniel Andrews forced the premature closure of Hazelwood, and that has driven up prices in Victoria and has also put our power supply at jeopardy. Certainly, we are monitoring the situation very closely. The Australian Energy Market Operator has taken strong action to deal with blackouts and the potential of blackouts. But, you know, we are very concerned about how the state Labor government is managing Victoria's power supply. We're working very hard to build a reliable national energy market, to reinforce the need for investment in reliable 24/7 generation. That's incredibly important. And, of course, in contrast to that, we have Bill Shorten and Labor with its 50% renewable energy target and 45% target for emissions reduction, which will drive up power prices dramatically and, of course, put our power supply at further risk. We do need baseload power. We need certainty. We need security. And that's what our focus is. And that's why, when it comes to electricity prices and power, Labor's policies are so reckless.
Has Labor adopted your old policy, which was the National Energy Guarantee?
Look, we don't know what they're doing. They keep chopping and changing, but we certainly do know, based on the modelling that's been done, that a 50% renewable energy target and a 45% decrease in emissions will compromise baseload power, will drive up electricity prices, will create greater uncertainty in the electricity market. And, of course, we know how important lower power prices are across the nation, particularly for industry and manufacturing. And we are absolutely turning the corner with power prices in Victoria. We've done so in other states. We are very, very focused on driving down power prices for families and, of course, for businesses and industry, which is vital for manufacturing. And we've already seen a halving of the cost of wholesale gas, and that's been very important, including for the likes of local companies like AKD Softwoods in Colac, which, of course, relies on low gas prices, as do so many other industries. So we have seen Labor's reckless policies do some damage, which we are fixing, but on so many levels, Mitch, we are fixing Labor's mess, and building a strong economy, backing small business, delivering record jobs growth, and ensuring that we are also delivering record investment in health and education. And every time Labor says we're not, we will continue to combat Labor's lies. We will not cop Labor's string of lies.
Just last of all, the NDIS, Labor is keen to continue to talk about the issues around staff caps. And they say that if you get rid of staff caps on the NDIS, it won't affect the budget because the funding would otherwise just go to external contractors. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the issues around staff caps on the NDIS.
Well, let me just say, as the Assistant Minister for Disability Services, I'm incredibly proud of what the NDIS is doing in our community and across Australia. More than 250,000 Australians are now participants in the scheme, and it is doing so much to change people's lives. And I'm, as I say, as the one of the responsible ministers, I'm incredibly proud of the NDIS. We've had to fix a number of things. Initially, of course, Labor excluded anyone with mental health disability, so psychosocial disability. That was excluded in the original scheme as rolled out by Labor, so we needed to fix that. And we've also increased the NDIA's workforce by some 750 staff. So that's very, very important, along with many other very important improvements that we are delivering to the NDIS, a more simplified structure. There's specialised planning, a better website, clearer explanation, clearer opportunities to have plans reviewed, and much more specialised help. So, look, I'm really proud and I'm really disappointed that Bill Shorten's candidate in Corangamite is criticising the NDIS, because this has enjoyed enormous bipartisan support. And, of course, we are proudly building the NDIA, the National Disability Insurance Agency headquarters here in Geelong, a $120 million investment where hundreds of people will be working, growing our local economy, and, of course, delivering this incredible service to all Australians.
Well, Sarah, thank you very much for being on the program once again. Always good to catch up. And I think our next scheduled interview slot is in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you.
Wonderful to talk to you, as always, Mitch, and have a great day down in Lawn.
Definitely. Well, thank you very much, Sarah Henderson there, the federal member for Corangamite.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.